Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Think. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
You.
Every time I hear that intro,
I know, right? Don't you want to just sing it?
You just want to you. Even though you can't sing. Hey, hey, hey. All my big, big listeners, how you doing? I know, right? I'm telling you, it's going to be hilarity from the beginning, as you can tell. I want to welcome you all to Think Big Radio, You Versus You, Renewing Your Life. And today we have a fantastic person online, Jennifer Ness Houston. She's going to be talking about some amazing things and all the things that she's done and where she is to this day. So let's get started without wasting any more of your valuable time. Let's introduce Jennifer Ness Houston. All right. Jennifer Ness, tell us about yourself. It's crazy.
Thank you. So tell you about myself. I can't hear you.
Okay. No, you'll hear me when I say something. Now you just keep on going. You're an entrepreneur. We lost Jennifer. Jennifer Ness, we lost her. Oh my goodness. I think we're having some technical difficulties, so we're just going to take a few moments while we're waiting for Jennifer Ness to see how everyone is doing. So one of the things that we're definitely going to be talking about, hey, she's back. I'm glad you're back. Hey, welcome.
and it's
so funny, we do have those kind of, technical difficulties. We do. They pop up on occasion.
So,
tell us about yourself.
So, I am Jennifer Ness Houston. I am an entrepreneur. I am an author. I am a mother. I am a Christian. I've been an entrepreneur since 2009. I deal primarily with personal finance and business finance. I'm kind of transitioning from personal finance and just solely working on business finance, but I've written a couple books, and I just recently wrote my third book. So that's a little bit about me.
Okay. Now, before we get into this third book, tell me about your first two books.
Okay, so the first book, it was with an additional author, Shandrita Boykin, and we wrote a book called The 21-Day Fiscal Bootcamp. So with that particular book, we are covering four areas of personal finance. We're covering budgeting, credit improvement, debt elimination, and savings accumulation. So that book is a workbook. So basically, we give you a little bit about ourselves. We cover each topic, and then each day you have something to do, hence the 21-day fiscal bootcamp. It's been truly phenomenal and successful. We turned it into a curriculum/program called the Credit Improvement Movement. And we wrote the book at the end of 2015, but in 2016 we helped about 46 people to improve their knowledge, financial awareness, but we helped 9 people get into home ownership, and that is our claim to fame. So this year, 2017, we are on pace to exceed that maybe by triple. So that's pretty phenomenal. We're using that book. It has been truly successful. We have got sales all the way from the UK. So it's available on Amazon. It's available on each of our websites. And then my second book is called the Finesse My Business. It's from leaping to launching. So basically, you have all these different entrepreneurs that have started their business, but they have not seen a tremendous amount of revenue, or they have not had positive cash flow. And so with this particular book, it talks about some of the clients that I've helped and what I've helped them to do, but it also gives a map, per se, how to get from launching to actually leaping. to getting to a place where you have positive cash flows, you're able to pay yourself as an entrepreneur and not just going through the motions like a lot of us do when we get into entrepreneurship.
Wow, that's deep. We might have to have you back on our business week, but that definitely.
Yes.
Now, tell us about
yes.
your third book.
I actually love doing that. So, yes, let me get to my third book. But let me just say this, too. I also teach entrepreneurship at Franklin University. So anything to do with entrepreneurship from, you know, like I said, from startup to being an existing business owner, that's really my pie right there. That's what I love to do because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a sole entrepreneur 100% of the time. A lot of people are working full-time and doing this part-time, but I'm doing this full-time. So I've encountered some things, and I've been able to help some people, and I want to help some additional people, and so that's what I love to do.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we're definitely looking forward to it. Now, let's get on this third book.
Okay, so in the midst of me building my professional platform, so with, like I said, with this around finance, that professional platform, I experienced a bunch of personal turmoil. So as a result of that, I decided to write about it. And so this third book has nothing to do with finance whatsoever. It has everything to do with my life. The book is called Broken Wife, Broken Life, and it starts off talking about, you know, current day situations and trauma. And I don't want to give the full book away, but I just had a bunch of trauma here lately in my life. But then I go back and start talking about my past, my history. And it goes all the way back to when I was 4 years old. I remember when I was 4 years old, we were on the run from the federal government. Myself, my two little brothers, my mommy, and my stepdad. He was a bank robber. Girl, so we went
did
from
you,
Ohio
wait, stop,
all the
stop,
way
stop, stop, stop. Did you wait, did you just say your stepfather was a bank robber? We're not gonna see
yes,
you in some of these mob movies, are we? Because I'm gonna be looking for you.
Girl.
Jennifer, did we lose you again? No, we lost her again. She had a call drop. However, oh my goodness, if you're just tuning in and we see people are popping in, we're talking with Jennifer Ness Houston, who has written several books. She is an entrepreneur. She works in finances. She's moving from personal finances to working with business finances. And I know her because she worked with my business and working with me and my finances. But the thing that brought us together and for me to interview her today was her third book, Broken Wife, Broken Life, Discipline, Obedience, and Forgiveness. Now, we know, as we're waiting for Jennifer Ness to connect back to the phone, we've had some technical difficulties. We know that things happen, and as she was getting ready to tell us a story about when she was 4 years old and being on the run because her stepfather was a bank robber. And so that is some very interesting information that I'm so looking forward to hearing because if you think about where her life could have been had she made some different turns. When you're in the house with the bank robber, you know, anything can happen. Look, she's back.
Well,
she's
well,
back. All right. I'm singing, girl. Fine. Okay, Miss Jennifer Ness. Jennifer Ness?
Hello?
Okay, you're back. We got a little of your singing, so you know. Okay, so 4 years old, on the run from the federal government. Stepfather's a... Is she gone again? This is the most interesting conversation because of technical difficulties. But as she was telling us about being on the run and from a stepfather and how it ties into all the different things that could happen to us based on where we are or where we could have been, some turns that we could have taken. So,
absolutely.
Jennifer Ness, you got it?
Yes,
you're here, you're back, are you back?
I can't stand it.
Okay,
I don't even know where I cut off, but you know, I run my mouth.
Hey, you know what? It just keep it moving. Okay, 4 years old on the run from the law. You are not in the mob, so okay, we're going to take that. Tell us more.
Okay, so let me back up a little bit. Let me tell you this. My mommy was a 15-year-old that was molested by a family friend.
Wow.
And that's
we know a lot of people that's been down that road.
Oh, my goodness. And we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. We don't shelter our children. You know, my mommy never talked to me about it. So guess what? The cycle repeated itself. And even though I talked to my child about it, the cycle still repeated itself. But the difference is when I was molested, I didn't tell anyone. I was molested from the time I was 5 all the way till I was 8. I didn't tell nobody till I was 22 years old. When my baby was molested, she immediately told me. Immediately. She said, Mommy, something inappropriate happened. I mean, she was 8 years old. She knew that it was not right because I talked to her. I talked to her from the time she was born. I remember her being 2 years old. She went over to one of my friend's house, and she was trying to wash her up in the shower. She was like, no, don't touch my cuckoo. She was like, girl, I got to wash you up. She was like, no, you can't touch my cuckoo. My mommy said no. But she knew from the time she was young, because I instilled that in her, like, no. Anybody touch you between your neck and your knees, this is wrong. You better tell me. So when my baby was molested, she immediately told me. She said, Mommy, this is what happened. This is who did it. And her mommy went loco, went crazy. Her mommy being me.
Yeah. You know, you in the third person. So we definitely could see, and a lot of us in the community either experienced it personally or know someone that experienced it, of the molestation by family members or close family friends who, you know, you grew up thinking, oh, they're safe, they're okay, and no one said anything. But you knew they knew, because they never left you with your cousin, you know, that one cousin or that one uncle. Don't leave them babies down there with Parkin. Don't leave them babies down there with Ray Ray. But they knew, but no one would tell anyone. But the fact that you took it upon yourself to teach your daughter from the time she understood to so that she can tell, so that she would not keep the silence, that is definitely breaking the silence, breaking the chain. Continue.
It really was. And I tell you what, Carla, because she knew better, and this was, because she knew better and told, now I'm like, okay, let me talk about it. Because that's the thing with us. We don't talk about stuff. We think that it's one of those topics that folks don't like to talk about, or it's like one of those just those nasty things, you know, that we don't talk about. We'll talk about adultery.
Right.
We'll talk about all forms of sex whatsoever. We'll even talk about rape, you know, and rape is usually with folks that we don't know, but we don't talk about rape with the folks we do know, which is that molestation. We don't talk about it. And so I've been doing so much research, and do you know, I found out that 82% of women, African-American women, have been molested in one
That's
form
too
of
high.
Another. It's
that
way
is
too
high.
And of that 82%, only 11% of them actually told. Is that crazy or what? And most times it's found out because of STDs, because of pregnancy, you know, because of those outward signs. But other than that, we're not talking. This is not a topic that we talk about.
Definitely. We need to talk. We need to have some dialogue and start talking to.
And so what I am doing, what I have done, is really just allowing folks that platform, allowing folks that I want to work with women, want to work with girls, and help them to understand just their self-awareness, self-esteem, relationship. And so what I've been studying, Carla, is emotional intelligence.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about that. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So here's the thing. When this happened to my baby, I pretty much was on the brink of losing my mind, okay? I have never, ever, I've always been a person with really high self-esteem. I've never, ever, ever been a person that would ever think that I would be so sad or depressed. Now, I had moments of sadness, but never where it lasted. But one time, girl, I was in the airport, and I got this in the book, too. I was in the airport in Kansas City, Missouri. And when you have a whole bunch of trauma, your mind will play tricks on you. So know, my mind was playing so many tricks on me that I couldn't catch up with it. And so emotionally, I was tore up. Like, I had a panic attack. I didn't even know what a panic attack was. I could not breathe. I could not talk. I couldn't do anything. All I kept doing was, I kept crying. I couldn't breathe. And I was like, what is this? And I'm in the middle of an airport with a zillion people. And so I don't know how it happened, but I called one of my friends, and she just started praying. I mean, I don't even know how she knew, but she identified what it was. She said, just since you were having a panic attack, she said, I need you to calm down. And she just started praying. And I'm telling you, those prayers reached through that phone and blessed my soul. As a result of that, I started trying to get my emotions in check. But go ahead.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Give us your contact information and where they can find you.
Okay, so my website is www.jennifinesse.com. On my website,
now you don't have to spell Jennifinesse because I know.
Right.
I know they don't. They may not know how to spell Jennifinesse.
J as in Jack, E, N as in Nancy, E, F as in Frank, E, N as in Nancy, E, S as in Sam, S as in Sam. So if you go to...
Listen, you got all the E's. You got all the E's.
All the vowels, Vanna. All the vowels.
All the E's. So your website is JenniferNessHouston.com?
Nope, it's just Jennifer Ness. Because mind you, my last name will not be Houston. Next Monday, I will be divorced, baby. So my last name will be going back to my maiden name. Yeah, I'm getting
divorced. Okay, so it says JenniferNess.com.
JenniferNess.com.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a few
website,
minutes.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
So we can talk about that in a few minutes. Tell us about your website.
Okay, so on my website, I have a free book out there. It's called Finesse My Emotions. In that book, I go into deeper about some of the things that I experienced through this trauma and what I use to help me to get my emotions in check. And it also gives you an assessment of if your own emotional intelligence, what level of emotional intelligence based on those things in that assessment. So that's a free book at JenniferNess.com. It's called Finesse My Emotions. It's a free ebook download.
Okay. Now, callers, if you're on the line listening, if you have a question, press 1. And I will see that your hand is raised, and I will be able to click to you so that we can answer your question. And we just lost Jennifer Ness again, but while we're waiting, if you did not get that website information, her name is Jennifer Ness, J-E-N-E-S-S, JenniferNess.com. Jennifer Ness.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're back. So
yeah.
I was telling them how to find you on the web and the free book, the free ebook, Finesse My Emotions. Now, when you were talking about next Monday, you're going to be divorced. But let's talk about, you were talking about relationships. Let's talk about the relationships and how you, the evolvement or devolvement of the relationship and what you would like for us to know about that.
So let me just say that this is my second divorce, and I am the type of woman that I thought I would get married forever. Like, I'm a woman of faith, and so I believe in principles, and I believe that marriage is sacred, and I believe that God ordains marriage, bottom line. So there was no way that I thought I would ever, ever, ever get a divorce, not even the first time, let alone the second time. I got married forever. So the first time, let me just divulge into that a little bit. The first time, there was a lot of crap going on, but the bottom line is we should have never got married. We were best friends for 10 years, and for some odd, strange reason, no, it wasn't no odd, strange reason. Let me just keep it 100,000% real. Out of desperation, out of wanting
to... Oh, here we go.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about realness, okay? So it wasn't no odd, strange reason. I was desperate, celibate, and I wanted to be right. And so I got married to have sex, legally, in the sight of God. I didn't love him.
Listen, let me stop you right there, because I have led several singles ministry in my single ministry days. And what you are telling is the God honest truth. Because especially if the man or the woman, and it's not, 9 times out of 10 it's the woman, especially if the woman wants to have sex. It's like, you know what, I'm going to do right. Now, the fact that the Lord said, that's not your husband, you don't want to hear that. What you want to hear is,
girl,
we getting married.
I didn't even wait for him to tell me that. I didn't wait for the Lord to tell me that. I was like, wait, hold on.
Wow.
I've been knowing him for 10 years. We best friends. We cool. You know, I didn't even love him. You know what I'm saying? I was not physically attracted to him. None of that. I just was like, well, let's do it. Let's go ahead. And this way, I can do what I want to do because I want to be right, which is really just so backwards and out of order. And even though, you know, we lasted for 8 years because we just put up with each other, it was out of order from the beginning to the end. And to be honest too, Carla, just to be 100% honest, I would have stayed in that marriage miserable for the rest of my life because I wanted to honor the intimacy.
Wow. Even though, one, the Lord didn't put you in that marriage.
Even though
you wasn't happy. You wasn't in love.
I wasn't happy. I wasn't in love. There was no type of, oh, I miss you, yum, 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 none of that. It was just like a friendship type of love that never developed into anything else. And so when he was ready to go, girl, I was so ready for him to go.
Wow.
So when he was like, when that dude started tipping out and doing what he wanted to do, I was like, yes, you know, deuces. But I do believe, like I said, I do believe in marriage. I do believe in the institution. And I know that when it's right, it's right. So let's talk about my second marriage.
Okay.
So let me talk about it. Now, with this man, I really, genuinely love him. And I'm not saying love in the past tense. I still love him. Like, I love him. I love everything about him. I love him. So different. This was a different type of marriage. This was a different type of relationship. This was a different type of commitment. Okay?
Right.
I love him. Now, what he has done, I have forgiven him. But I cannot remain as his wife. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like I told you, you can ask me anything you want to ask me because it's an open book. And I'm not going to sit up here and get interviewed and say, well, that's a topic that I don't want to talk about. I decline to answer that. So, you know, you can ask me whatever. You, the listeners, or whoever. But I genuinely do. I love him. But I cannot remain his wife. I've forgiven him for the things that he's done. And I even thought I could still be his friend because I did consider him my best friend. But I can't even do that because going back to emotional intelligence, it just took me on a roller coaster. Trying to be his friend, I'm like, I can't even do this no more because I'm going up and down and vacillating. And that's not healthy for me.
Right. Right. Oh, my goodness. Now, so when you talk about how did you get into this marriage? Were you following the Lord? Were you on the prescription? Did you do the relationship thing? Tell us about it.
I'm so glad you guys.
Here we go. And look at what your laugh just lets it all out. Like, oh, I done something nothing to tell it.
I love it. So to be honest, this man, I honestly believe, and I don't know what the Lord has in store in the future, but I honestly believe that he was having sin. We were both walking on a path of abstinence and really following after the Lord. We met at the airport. Just randomly. And then the Lord kept putting us together. Like every other weekend, I would have to go to D.C. He would be in D.C. I would have to go to New York. He lived in Connecticut. And it was just, when I say it was almost too good to be true, it was perfect. And I allowed the rest of the Lord. Like, he saw God. Saw God in everything that we did. We walked upright before him. And that's why I honestly believe that God is going to use this for his purpose. Because I honestly believe that God put us together.
Right, right. And I have heard many a tales of people that were together, took some time apart, grew, developed, became really what the Lord has in store for them, and then there was some kind of reunion. It may not have been back into a marriage, but it was definitely, there was more powerful the second time around. So,
and that's what he
now,
knows, but I don't think it can happen.
But listen, you don't know what the Lord got in store for you.
You're right.
So
you're right.
Now
I'll talk after
you,
God all the way.
You, the relationship, you wrote the book. Now, tell us about your book writing process, because I know we talked about that a little bit when you were
yes.
helping me with my business finances.
Yes. So, when my trauma and my hurt was so fresh in my heart, I wrote this book in a matter of a month. No, I take that back. It wasn't even a month. It was like 3 weeks. It's 8 chapters. It was super raw, and it was just really, it went from journaling to actually a book. You know what I'm saying? My pain was so
right.
strong and so intense and so immense that I just started writing out of it and just writing down all of my feelings and just started recalling. And it was super therapeutic in such a way that as I started recalling some of the stuff that I've been through as a young person and growing up and why I am the way that I am today, it just helped me to be free. And so that's why I'm truly an open book. Like, I can tell you anything about me because I'm like, this book helped me to see who I am. You ever heard of Jahari's Window?
Oh, yes, yes. I love the Jahari Window. I use that in several of my exercises as well as programs. And then, and I was just looking at it the other day. If you're not,
so
okay, Jennifer, for those of us, well, not us, but some of our listeners that may not be familiar with the Jahari Window of Discovery or Disclosure, tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. So, you tell us a little bit about it. You use it in your training. So, tell us a little bit about Jahari's Window, and I'll tell you how it helped me.
Okay, so the Jahari Window has of Disclosure has four quadrants, and in those quadrants
yes.
is one, the first quadrant on the top left is what you know about you and what your friends know about you. Then
right.
there's the quadrant of to the right of what you know about you, but your friends don't know about you. And then the bottom
right.
left is what your friends know about you, but you don't know about you. And then the bottom right is what you don't know and they don't know.
There you go. And so I use that concept, that old strategy to understand more about myself. And that's how I was able to really dig deeper about Jennifer Ness and put it into this book.
Wow. So when you now, what areas of the Jahari Window
really stood out to you and showed you more about yourself?
The biggest one is what I know and others don't know. That was the biggest one because I am the type of person that I think because I want to stay positive and I want to stay optimistic, I will suppress a lot of things in my life. So a lot of things in my life I've suppressed. It's so crazy that I went to a domestic violence symposium last year. And when I left, girl, I'm just praying for the people and the stories that I heard. And the Holy Ghost just reminded me my own story. And I had suppressed that thing for so long that I didn't even realize that I even had a domestic violence story. Like, and I went through this for 3 years. And I'm telling you, so that part where it is what I know about me that no one else knows, and then allowing those things to come up and bubble up and be therapeutic and get through them and heal through them instead of suppressing them, that's how it helps me.
Wow. That is amazing. So now you out there, you don't know that you don't know, and they don't know that you don't know, and now you got a story to tell.
I have a story.
See,
and the
best
part about it, Carla. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
What I was going to say is everybody has a story to tell.
Everybody has a story.
Everybody has a story to tell, and a lot of us aren't telling it. We're not telling it. We're sitting on it, and the Word of God tells us that we overcome by our testimony. So if we would all share
right.
our different stories, share our different testimonies, do you know how many folks would overcome?
Oh, my goodness. They don't know.
They don't
know. Let me do a quick commercial break to remind everybody what they're listening to. My computer always wants to shut down. And so we're going to take a
your
quick
goals
station break.
Are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Okay. No problem. I want to remind everyone, you are listening to Think Big Radio. We are talking to Jennifer Ness Houston, Broken Wife, Broken Life author. And this book is about just, you know, just emotions raw, just open, just exposed, but at the same time healing, freeing, just renewing your life. So call us. If you're listening on the line now and you have a question, please hit 1 so that shows that you're raising your hand, and then I can go to you and then you can ask Jennifer Ness your question. But we still have some time before, you know, we have to wrap it up. So some of the other things I want to talk about. Jennifer Ness, we were talking earlier and you were telling me about a story that you read about a young man who was, I think, still a juvenile. That
yeah.
is going. It could be you, but before you do that, we have
yeah.
a question. Before you tell us that story, okay? All right, caller in a 323. You're on the phone with Jennifer Ness Houston. Who are you? Who? What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Big from Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to say that I'm definitely enjoying the show right now. And I know you're going to talk about some things, and we talked about the abuse, the adultery, the abandonment. We didn't cover the addiction yet, and I was wondering, you know, how would a person that's married or a person that's in a relationship kind of cope with addiction? And is that something that you would actually say, well, you know, it's time to leave this relationship because that partner can't control the addiction, or is it something that you just try to work out? And then one of the things that I saw on the flyer, you were also going to talk about forgiveness. So could you kind of cover just a little bit of that for me?
Yes, thank you. Those are two topics that you're right, I didn't touch upon, so I'm glad that you called in, Mr. South Carolina. I didn't hear his name. Did you say Mr.
Oh, yeah, that's Big.
Oh, I don't know who. But okay, so yes, let me talk about addiction first, and then let me talk about forgiveness. And thank you for bringing those topics up. Number one, as far as addiction, so when I was growing up, I am a product of that crack era, right? So my mommy was on crack cocaine for years. And so I pretty much raised myself, and I raised my brother. And it was tough. It was very tough, to the point where both of them are sitting in prison right now today, because of the choices that they've made based on our life circumstances. And going back to the article that you were talking about, Carla, this really ties in. So basically, I was reading an article yesterday about this young boy in Columbus. I think he's 17 years old. He's being tried as an adult, and he's probably going to get a whole bunch of time, but not the death penalty. For, I believe it was murder. And it was talking about his life circumstances, being born into a family where his father was in prison, his mother was on drugs, and his grandmother was raising them, and then she died, and then he went bounced around from family member to family member in kinship placement, which is kind of like our story, me and my brother's story. And so they chose the life, not saying that I didn't, because there was a time when I was in the fast life too, you know, messing around with drug dealers, you know, drinking. I never really did drugs because my mommy was a drug addict, so I put in my mind that that's something that I wasn't going to do. But we had chose that fast life, and they stayed in it a little bit longer than I did. And so as a result of that, they got caught up, and they're both in the system. They've actually both been in prison more than they've been out. And so it's tragic. And so going back to addiction, my first husband had a couple addictions. And wait a minute, let me not say that, because a lot of people know who my first husband was. Let me just say that I was married to someone. I was in a relationship where myself had not only addictions to drugs, but addictions to pornography. Okay? And so those two addictions really affected our relationship, our life, our intimacy with one another. And so there were times when they, you know, they make that half-pitch effort to say, you know what, I'm going to quit, I'm going to stop, and I promise you, you know, woo, 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 you know, but if it's not in them to do, it won't happen. And for this particular person, it was not in him to do. And so that continues to this day, you know, the drug addiction, the pornography addiction. Now, I will say this. The word says that the sanctified wife sanctifies the husband. Now, I'll just be 1,000% honest once again. I was not the sanctified wife. He had his addiction, but I also had mine. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to just keep it 1,000% real. He was not the only person who committed adultery in the marriage. I also committed adultery because I was addicted to a picture of love that I wasn't getting from him. So those addictions
are
real.
Stop. Wait a minute. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop right there, because you just said something right there. Say that again. Tell us what you was addicted to one more again.
I was addicted to emotional feeling of love that I was not getting from him. And so I sought that from other people, not person, people. And so he was not the only person that had committed adultery. And because of that addiction, I think I was even talking to somebody about this the other day. You know, sometimes we who love Lifetime movies and we love the happy ending, we love those chick flicks. You know, we get in our minds that this is real life. Not that somebody wrote this picture-perfect, you know, picture, but that this is real life and that we could have it. Not knowing that this is real life and you're going to have problems. And not saying that you should ever stay in a relationship that's going to be abusive or any of those things. But I do think that when you are sanctified as a wife, you can definitely sanctify your husband. For a husband, you can sanctify your wife. And that's what the word says, so that's what I believe. Now, for me, I was not sanctified. I was saved, but I was not sanctified.
Wow.
Okay.
So, all right. I'm going to do this again. Okay. Listeners, if you have a question, I keep saying push one, but it's pound one or hashtag one. If you have a question, click hashtag one, and I will see that you have a question. It will show up, and then you can ask Jennifer Ness a question. Okay.
Okay.
Let me get check to make sure we get everything for Big.
Thank you.
Big's question.
Let me answer the second part.
Did you get that first part?
Yeah, I'm still here. That's a pretty wild story. And you know, I didn't really even think about the addiction portion coming from a guardian first. I was just kind of thinking about, you know, husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, and, you know, the best ways to move forward and something like that. So, yeah, you answered that and more.
And you know what? You just made me think
about something. Okay, let's get to the second part.
Okay, but before we do, let me just say this. You have to set boundaries in your relationship. And when folks cross those boundaries, there has to be consequences. And that's how you can help people to get beyond that addiction. Okay, so now going back to the second part. The second part was about forgiveness. So in all of my relationships, like even coming up, starting from being a child who was abandoned, my mother went to prison, and I was like that little boy in that article, you know, being bounced from family members to family members. And so getting to a level of forgiveness, having to forgive her, even through the years of addiction, and then going to my husband, you know, both of them. The first one hurt me, but it wasn't the level of hurt that the second one hurt me. That second one hurt me to my core. And I have been able to forgive him, and even, like I said initially, been able to be his friend. But I honestly believe that forgiveness is a gift. And when you release that person, you actually release yourself. And so I've been able to release him because I needed to. I needed to be free in and of myself. I was not comfortable having panic attacks. I was not comfortable living in a way that my mind was playing tricks on me. So I was not willing to continue to drink poison and expect him to have the end result of death. So I had to forgive.
Wow.
And I talk about that in a whole chapter in my book.
Now, wait, tell us how we can get the book.
Okay, you can get the book on jennifernest.com. The book is available on Amazon. It's available in book form, and it's also available on Kindle. There are several different websites. But the best one is probably from my website at jennifernest.com.
Okay.
But I do dedicate a whole chapter to forgiveness in the book.
You got a whole chapter on forgiveness. Now, you also got obedience in there. You talked a little bit about it. What was your take on the obedience?
So, I thank you for asking me that, Carla. So, I believe that in my current marriage, that the Lord had gave me specific instructions that I did not obey. And because I did not obey, that sacrifice came, where I sacrificed my emotions, I sacrificed my life, I sacrificed my children, I sacrificed a whole lot. And so I think oftentimes we, as just human beings, we don't want to take instructions, even through leadership. You know, there were things that my pastor, you know, the head of my spiritual life, had told me that I didn't want to repeat. And so that's what I meant by obedience. I was disobedient in so many ways. You know, there was a time where he gave me specific instructions. Yes, I feel like you should do this. And because I didn't listen to him, the end result was devastating. You know what I'm saying? And so there's been a lot of times in my life, because of the way that I grew up, I've just been disobedient. And now I'm learning as a woman of faith, and just based on my whole circumstances, how to be more obedient to the word and to God and to the shepherd that he's placed over me.
Oh my goodness. So let me just say this. You talked about getting married because you want to have sex. We definitely know that was not obedience. Then you talked about the Lord telling you specific things that you need to do, didn't do it, not obedience.
Yeah.
Now, how do you know, or how do you help others know about the obedience that they need to be dealing with, or how they can hear about the obedience that the Lord is speaking into their life?
I think the biggest thing is, if the Lord is not speaking to you, his word definitely speaks to you. And then also, there's wisdom in the multitude of counsel. You know, people see things before you see them, right? And so if we have multitude of counsel, you can become wise just off of that. You know, and that can lead to being obedient. And so I think sometimes people want to hear that audible voice of God, like Jennifer S., turn to the left. God ain't doing that. But what he is doing is
right.
He's pointing me to his word. He's pointing me to scripture. And he's put certain people in my life that I trust. And so I think that's the biggest thing. You can't be so scared to share, because when you do, you become an island. And an island, you're going to pretty much drown. And so you need to surround yourself with people who are wise. And it's going to tell you the truth, regardless of how you receive it. I talk about that in my book. I had a couple friends that would tell me the truth, and it hurt it. You know what I'm saying? It was like, man, I don't want to hear that, or why are you coming at me like that? But I love it because it helped me to get to the place of where I am. And I think that's a lot of our problem. We don't like to be confronted. We don't like to be checked. You know, we don't like to be put on front street, but it helps us. You know, iron sharpens iron. And I think that is it when it comes to that obedience and when it comes to listening and direction from God. Get around the right irons that you can be sharpened.
Wow. You know, and I think you have said some stuff. No, there's no thinking. I know you have said some stuff today that is going to touch and reach. And if somebody is fighting it, especially that addicted to being in love based on somebody's script, because trust me, there's not a woman I don't know that has not had a moment of watching a movie and it was just so like, why is my relationship not like that? and destroyed their relationship trying to create something that was scripted that came out of somebody's imagination.
There you go. Even comparing ourselves to real life people. You know what I'm saying? You don't know their real life. You don't live with them. All you see is what they allow you to see. You know, and that's most of the time the positive. So sometimes we'll compare ourselves to others. For example, with my relationship, people will always say, "Oh my God, I love the way y'all are with each other." And to be honest, we were happy. We had a great relationship. It was very strong, and we were just like genuinely happy. But people didn't know what else was going on in our relationship. And so you can't even compare yourself to those folks that you think you know, let alone the TV.
Wow. And you have that. People, there's amazing. And listen, we were talking about television couples that were so perfect, they were causing divorces. The Brady Bunch, Heathcliff, and Claire Huxtable.
Yes.
And so now when you look at relationships on television today, those are real people. Like, you know what? I don't like you today. Your breath stink. You know, it's just like real life. But
it's
think
life.
About how much
right.
carnage has been in the wake of all the past perfection in relationships that people would not get because you did not marry Bill Cosby and I am not Felicia Rashad. So let's be clear. let's just be clear. Now, we're down to our last 13 minutes, 12 minutes. Tell us about a chapter in the book that we have not discussed already.
So, that we have not what?
We have not talked about yet. You said you had, it's 8 chapters?
There are 8 chapters. Let me think. So we talked about emotional intelligence. We talked about forgiveness.
Yes.
We talked about trauma. We talked about addiction. We talked about adultery. We talked about abuse. Oh, we didn't talk about? Ooh, this is a good one, girl.
What?
We didn't talk about mental illness.
Oh,
well,
we definitely got to close on that one.
Yes, that is one of the chapters. Mental illness. We sometimes feel like it can be looked upon, you know, forgiven, you know, looked over, like it's just going to go away eventually. But this is real. And we as a people, we don't believe in therapy. We don't believe in, well, we believe in self-medication, but we don't believe in actually being medicated based on the doctor's prescription or the doctor's recommendation. We just feel like we're going to get through it, you know, with a little bit of Jesus and going to church. We're going to get delivered. You know what I'm saying? But it takes a little more than that. When it's truly a mental illness, that means a chemical imbalance. And as people. And so that's another thing that the book goes into, a little bit about mental illness and its effect on not just you, but the people around you, and how we cannot ignore those things because they just grow.
But, and you know what? We know people whose family members are walking around with some type of mental illness, but just like molestation, they don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it.
Nope, it's taboo. When you address it, that means now you got to stop ignoring it. You got to throw money into it. You got to throw resources into it. You got to put your time into it. And it's just overwhelming. And true, it is. It can be. But it's something that, if treated, it can be manageable. But so many of us are self-medicating with, you know, drugs and alcohol. We're self-medicating, you know, by just basically tearing other folks down. We're just doing all this crazy crap that's so counterproductive. When we really could get what we need if we just address the issue. So that's another thing that's in the book.
Wow. You know, when I'm thinking, now we've gone through different chapters. When you started writing this from the perspective of when you were just raw with emotion, and when you wrote the last word, tell us how you felt.
I felt so accomplished, Carla. Let me just tell you. I was like, oh, my God, I've done it. And I'll tell you what, the book has a lot to do with, starting off has a lot to do with my husband. And I would read him different chapters, even though we were going through a divorce and separation and all that. I still consider him my best friend because, like I said, I love him. I love him. I would read him certain chapters, and he would just be in tears, like, wow, this is amazing. And then when I started letting other people read it, like the beta readers, girl, and in the comments that they gave back. And then, you know what? This book has allowed other people to get delivered. Like, reading this book, there have been some of my beta readers that have not, I mean, I'm not talking like 30, 40-year-old people, but I'm talking like 60-year-old folks, 50-year-old folks that have not dealt with certain issues in their life that read this book and be like, oh, my God, and tell me stories about their lives. And we're able to, like, get to a point of deliverance because when, here's the thing, transparency begets transparency. Reality begets reality.
Right.
So when you see somebody being real and being wide open, you feel comfortable also being wide open. And you can see your own flaws instead of somebody trying to point yours out and not looking at their own. And I am, like, totally wide open in this book, raw. Like, here's me. Here am I. I don't care what your opinion is anymore. I don't care what you think, but I'm getting delivered. And hopefully you can get delivered as well.
Wow. Listen, tell us again where they can pick up the book.
You can pick up the book, free ebook, and yes. Also the Broken Wife, Broken Life at jennifernest.com. And the way that you spell that is J as in Jack, E, N as in Nancy, E, F as in Frank, E, N as in Nancy, E, F, S, as in SamSam.com.
Awesome. Now, give us again your contact information, how they can find you.
Okay. You can find me at the website, or you can give me a call. I am available at 614-996-6976. I would love to talk relationships. I love to talk finance, whether it's personal finance or business finance, and just deliverance and just giving folks hope. That's my life's desire.
Great. Now, okay, before we close out, what's in store for you? What can we expect next from Jennifer Ness?
You can expect me, you know, I've been getting calls now for other interviews, and I'm so excited, like, yes, let's do it. But I think I'm going to be doing a lot of public speaking when it comes to relationships, and not just relationships between a man and a woman, but familial relationships, like relationships between a mother and a daughter, you know, having an open relationship where your child feels comfortable coming to you and telling you things that are embarrassing that probably otherwise wouldn't come out until they were 22 years old like me, you know. So having that that foundation that allows you to be open and honest with yourself and other people, and I think that's where we as a people are not. So I think that's going to be the platform that God is opening up for me. And I believe, honestly, I believe that that's the reason why he allowed certain things to happen, because he knew that I would use it and glorify him through it.
Right. Oh, my goodness. So, listen, we have had a very filling time listening to you, having questions, talking to you, just hearing about who you are, where you came from, where you're going, the different things that you're doing. And it's just mind-blowing because it's how, you know, when I think about where I am, I can't speak for anybody else, where I am and how I got there and the number of times that I've stood at that door, and I know that beyond that door, it's my next step, and it's going to more elevation and more greatness and, you know, being more, you know, open for the Lord, and just how long I've stood in front of that door just looking at it. This is really just like, open the door. What's holding you back? Open the door. Be obedient.
Yeah.
So definitely, and your peace of forgiveness that is a gift, listen, it is truly a gift, because you have to be, I mean, when you give a gift, you don't just like, yeah, here you go. You really give something from your heart. And when you give forgiveness, yeah, and you get forgiveness and you give forgiveness,
it is an amazing place. It's an amazing thing.
It
because
absolutely.
Then you can move forward. You can just keep going.
Absolutely.
So I'm really,
tell you what God showed me.
Go ahead.
Show me through this. If I could just leave you with this. What God showed me through this is we need to be willing to forgive like He's willing to forgive. The Word tells us that when we ask forgiveness, He separates it as far as the East is from the West. And that's very, very far. And so if God can do that,
right.
I believe He's inspiring us to do the same thing. Get to a state where we don't hold a grudge, we don't continue to throw things up in folks' face. We can go back to our original state of relationship based on the fact that we truly, fully forgiven and wiped off that slate.
That is amazing. And it's true. We just, once we let go, and I understand that everyone is not a believer and, you know, they have their different aspects of where they are in their life with their spiritual walk. And, you know, I just had a conversation with my brother-in-law, and he's like, oh, I'm not religious. I said, I'm not religious either. Because when you think about religious, you think about them
right.
cults and carrying on. I'm like, oh, no, no, honey. I have a relationship with my Lord and Savior.
There you go.
You know,
and
we, you know, He know how I get down. He know how I get down. You know, some
there
days He has to come and drag me out of some stuff. Like, come on, baby, you need to come on home now because I quit playing. But when people break that mindset of religiosity and really think about building a relationship, because, see, religious folks will shoot you. People in a relationship will forgive you and they will move forward. And so, you know,
you're
just thinking about
right.
the discipline of obedience and forgiveness, girl, you done said something right there. Oh, wait a minute, we got a phone call? We got a caller. Let's answer this question. Hello, caller for the 614. You have 2 minutes. What you got to say? What question you got to ask?
Well,
give
I just want to tell Jennifer Ness. My name is Tammy, and I just want to tell Jennifer Ness I am so proud of her. She inspires me. She's causing me to deal with some things that and look at my life, things that happened to me in my life that I've never really looked at before. And I'm just in your corner, and I'm so proud of you, Jennifer Ness.
Oh, thank you, Tammy. I love you. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate that. Thank you. And that's really the whole reason why I'm doing it. It's for me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to say thank you, Tammy, for listening in. We appreciate it. And not just listening in, but asking a question. But just thank you.
Yeah, well, it's not only a question,
ahead,
just a statement.
Thank
listen,
you, Tammy.
We take
I love
too.
You, and I appreciate that. Because I honestly believe
you're welcome.
That this is therapeutic for me, but it's also going to be therapeutic for a lot of folks. And that's what
absolutely.
That's what the Lord has prophesied to my life.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And
yes.
once again, just thank you so much for being so real and so honest. And, you know, God's got you. I know He does.
Thank you.
Yes, He does. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling like He's going to bless a whole bunch of folks today. Okay. Oh, we're down to our last 50-some seconds, so we're going to get ready to do our outro. Jennifer, give us one shout-out, one quote that we can take to the bank with us today.
The biggest thing that I can give somebody is when you forgive, you release, and you're actually living freedom. And who the Son set free is free indeed. So be free.
Be free. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is Miss Rain and Jennifer Ness. Thank you for listening to Think Big Radio, and we're out.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.